I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. Time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Mrs. LaGreca, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, January 28th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours, the other 20 and a half, and then 48 hours. That's all on your shoulders. You do with it as you will. Boy, this is a big show. This is the show that you've been waiting for since the beginning of football season in September. This is the one you dreamed about. This is the one that you wondered how it was going to be. Who's going to climb out of last place? Who's going to have to suffer the indignity of losing a bet? Right now, Peter's going to have to do some unbelievably magic things to get out of last place. I am assured of not being in last place. Don's got a pretty decent lead. Everything has to go wrong for him to actually fumble this. And his, knowing how Don operates, because Don's a pro, Don's a stud. Don's thinking about catching me. He's not thinking about holding off Peter. Right. That's how Don's working right now.
The picks are turned in, right?
Yep.
I wish Andrew could tell us, is it over for me or not? Because about one pick.
We'll find out at 5:45.
Right, so we can talk about it for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, but Andrew could tell us.
We don't have to know our picks, but he could say. He could say.
Well, hey there.
But that takes the drama away.
It would ruin everything.
Right. It would be like the screen going black in the pilot episode of The Sopranos.
Well, I mean, you're a brilliant talent, on-air talent, but boy, as a producer, you just don't get it. You just don't.
There's not one soul on God's green earth that is tuned in right now. And if we revealed this information, Don, there's not one person who would turn off the show. And they'd go, oh, I don't need to hear this.
No, I don't think anybody turns off the show because if you miss a minute, you miss a lot. But the point is you want to create drama and excitement for them so they can enjoy the show even more than they usually do.
I've really stressed this a lot. A, because I want to survive and have a chance for another week. And B, because I've just been so bad at picking games that just coming up with my picks has been such a labor
You should have done the George Costanza thing. Just do the opposite of what you think.
I've been so bad. That hasn't worked out for me either. Because then you start to forget what's the opposite. You're like, wait, what was the opposite again? What did I really feel? Whatever my gut was.
It gets in your head. You do what you think is right, and then hopefully it'll all work itself out.
Okay.
But Don, I did, Don, you'll be happy to know that, you know, the allocation – I tried to take a guess to make sure Don and I don't have the same 3-point play because that would end it for me, right? So I tried to guess on that, but Don, you'll be happy to know my picks were just my picks. I didn't think about what you went with.
Reading the tea leaves.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if we have the same 3-point play.
Wow. See, this is the drama that I dream about as a producer.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really surprised.
So you think there are things that I've said, things that you've said. Well, I don't know, though.
I think we've both been trying to deke each other.
You know what, Don? I'm worried that you just said that. I'm worried that you said that because that makes me think that we could have the same play.
So let me ask you this, Peter. If the picks turn out that you can't win, that you can't get out of last place, you're at the Royal Rumble in St. Louis right now, right?
That's right.
All right, so this is your last WWE endeavor for a while. Am I right?
I think I have one in right after the Super Bowl.
Oh, Because I was wondering if you'd start growing out the Gallagher hair right away. Yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping we get an extra week of growth in.
Yeah. Growth is good.
I could do it in the immediate, so it's playing out right in front of our eyes up until late February. But you're going to get more time out of it if we do it after the Super Bowl until WrestleMania. Then I have like 6 weeks where I'm potentially having to deal with this.
Well, why couldn't you do WrestleMania with some added growth on the side? A little Gallagher look.
I just don't think I'm comfortable.
It might be something you like.
It might be something that you know, this is it. This is the way I'm going to be from now on.
Right.
Well, listen, I'm not going to have nothing on top. So if you guys are thinking that what I'm going to have is just a complete Sherman Helmsley, it's not going to be full Helmsley, okay? It'll be something on top. But it's not going to be I'm not going to be doing this for long enough to see if it could ever grow out. I'm not doing this for a year, guys.
Well, but I mean, the sides, I want like a Bozo look, a Larry Harmon look.
Well,
yeah, but if we end up getting a derby of hair, that would be pretty interesting too.
A derby of
hair. Where there's enough on top that there's hair, but there's a rim around the head.
So like a San Diego Padre look.
Yeah, well,
it's really wrong, and I'm really worried now, because it depends what tea leaves Don was reading, because there are two forms of tea leaves that there were to read this week, and one of them, if it's regards to something I was saying, I have changed my mind on.
See, the beauty of being Don right now, as Red Barber used to say, he's in the catbird seat. If he loses, he gets what he wants: visceral pain. By having tennis balls thrown at him, and if he wins, he gets to see you grow out your hair. It's a no lose for Don.
It's a great
point.
I don't
want to be hit.
You do want to be hit.
You got to start lining up. You know who's gonna do this. Is it gonna be Leiter? Is it gonna be Cone?
If you end up losing this competition, right, it'll be one of the greatest collapses of all time. And if you end up not losing, well, Peter then steps into the greatest collapse of all time. This guy was in first place a couple of weeks ago.
I really want to point this out. When I was in first place, you had been within points of me for weeks.
Right.
But Don, what had it been, 6 weeks where he was 3 points behind me?
But people have to realize that all this is a race to the middle. So
yeah, but
there are guys that get off, they get hot, and then they come back down. And other guys that start out slow, and then they get hot. We all end up being right in the same neighborhood when the season's over anyway. So I don't
get too caught up in
blowing leads, because I don't think anybody's really that much better than anybody else. Well, and when you're talking about a competition that where if you're slightly above 50%, you're a professional, I don't get too caught up in it.
Also, I mean, I had a period – I was so hot in my comeback last year. My final 10 weeks last year were so crazy, to Don's point. And then I came out of the gate hot this year, like 10 games above 500. If it was real betting – and I wasn't forced to do this every week, when I'd felt the turn start this season, I would have quit. I would have taken my money and walked away from the table. I would have said, wow, I've been on a real run here for like 20 NFL weeks in a row. But we have to pick every week. I mean, look at my numbers. I'm still 31-28-1. I'm still playing over 500. And it's just been a really bad last 10 weeks. Don's right. It's tough. Michael, I give you credit, though. You've been a pretty consistent picker for the last couple years.
I blame both of you, though. Remember when I was in the doldrums, I said it could be over right now. You wouldn't allow it to be over. I was going to claim loss and dye my hair red. But you said,
you weren't going to.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have done it.
You weren't going to do that.
Now, Andy G on Twitter, I mean, he sums it up beautifully, because this is what our friend and co-host said, Peter. You do what you do. No, you do what you think is right and hope it will all work out. And Andy then put Mahatma Gandhi.
Well, that is...
He is Mahatma Gandhi lately. He really is.
That is a very good nickname.
I was just trying to be poetic in saying that.
Yeah,
don't
but you've
get
been
caught up in your...
very, very spiritual and chill
lately.
Like,
because I was
He's
in
very
the same
zen.
Boat Peter was
He's
last
very
year.
Zen.
What is Michael going to do? And I told you, I had a feeling Michael was going to go a certain way, and I could have duplicated that just to be able to play four corners and not lose. But I said, you know what? I don't want to get in my head. I don't officially know what he's going to do. I'm just going to do with what I think is going to happen in the game. And that's all I'm telling Peter to do. Don't get caught up in what I'm saying. Just pick the teams you want to pick, Because at the end of the day, you can look in the mirror and you can say, I did what I was supposed to do. Instead of guessing, just make the pick.
All right, now Fun With Numbers, who's been analyzing this beautifully, this is the way he says it. Don LaGreca should go Bengals for 3, 49ers for 2. Kay should go Chiefs for 3, 49ers for 2. Also good for Rams, but can block Don this way. And Rosenberg should go Rams, Bengals, if above is correct.
Why?
I don't understand how he gets that information. But he's basing it on just like what we generally like.
Well,
I
he's
guess
saying
so.
That these, yeah, what we generally like. And if we go this way, then the competition continues through February 13th. You know, my daughter, Callie, said to me like 2 weeks ago, she goes, how are you doing in your picks on your show? I said, actually, pretty good. And she looked a little bit down. I said, why? She goes, I really wanted to see you with red hair. So you're rooting for me to lose, I said. She said, yeah. And she walked away. Because that's how Callie rolls. So let's look at these games. Shall we, gentlemen and ladies?
I think we should.
So we have the Bengals at Kansas City against the Chiefs. It's a 7-point spread. That's what we have right now. Now, they met toward the end of the season, and in that meeting, Kansas City lost to the Bengals. Now, that was in Cincinnati. So that was in Cincinnati. In that game, Ja'Marr Chase had 11 catches for 266 yards and 3 TDs. And Joe Burrow threw for 446 yards. Now, some pertinent notes on this game that I got from several sources, a lot from ESPN.com that has a great breakdown. Don knows this. He follows it as I do. In 2 playoff games this year, Patrick Mahomes has 782 yards, 8 touchdowns. 8 touchdowns. And here's some against-the-spread notes. The Bengals have covered 6 straight games, 4 straight road games. They're 5-1 against the spread as a road underdog this year. KC has covered its last home game 7-1 against the spread in the past 8 games versus teams with a winning record.
Wow.
Pretty amazing,
That's surprising to me. It hasn't felt like that.
So they've covered their last 6 home games and 7-1 against spread, past 8 against teams with a winning record.
Yeah, so that's kind of a wash when you look at it that way. But
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to go deeper into just the wins and losses. Mm-hmm. That Burrow has been sacked 62 times this year. Quarterbacks that have been sacked 50-plus times have only made it to the championship game 5 times. All 5 lost the game. So, to me, it's all about, can Kansas City get pressure so that they can double chase? Because if they can't get to him with their 4, and they've got to send more, and they get Chase one-on-one, this could be a similar game than what we saw with Buffalo, where they're just exchanging touchdowns.
Now, to piggyback on that stat with Don, so the five previous quarterbacks that have been sacked 50 or more times during the regular season did not make the Super Bowl. Four of those five did not score an offensive touchdown in that game. So can they put the pressure on Burrow the way Tennessee did? Well, they've got Chris Jones, Jaron Reed, Melvin Ingram, and Frank Clark. They are a good line that could put pressure on you. So we'll see. We shall see. Now, we also even looked for you, our listener, into the official for this game. The official crew is Bill Vinovich. He throws the fewest flags of any of the 17 NFL crews. And the Bengals are the least penalized team. The Chiefs, the 9th most penalized team. So that helps the Chiefs. But remember, the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, they only had 4 penalties in that entire game. So they played a really clean game. I think this should be a good game. It's the first game on Sunday. Any other thoughts, Peter?
Listen, I see this being a high-scoring game. I do, even though the Kansas City defense has gotten better, we saw what that meant last week. And I think a lot of people in the public are naturally going to start leaning towards Kansas City, and with good reason, come this week because of the stats you just gave about how they've been against the spread and the fact that I think people are waiting for the shoe to drop on Cincinnati. But I don't know, man. Cincinnati has found a way. Every week they seem to find a way, so I think they'll end up being pretty competitive. I can't say more than that.
Well, interesting. Now, the second game. Why?
You already got it in.
I just can't.
Pick them.
I just can't.
49ers at the Rams. Rams are 3.5-point favorites. Now, we've all heard this stat. We've all heard it ad nauseum. The 49ers have beat the Rams the last six times they've played them.
Holy crap.
Now, the only games that matter to me of those six are the last two. Because the previous four games, they didn't have Matthew Stafford as their quarterback. So, it's a different team. They didn't have Von Miller. They didn't have Odell Beckham Jr. So, really, the only one that matters is the last game. And they were up by 17 points in the last game. And what we've seen from Sean McVay, and we saw it last week as well, he gets very, very conservative with the lead. That's what allowed Tampa Bay to get back in the game. Got really conservative, and they got sloppy. Really sloppy. Right. And they have nobody to blame but themselves for the 49ers being in the National Football Conference Championship game. Why? Because they're the team that lost to them in Week 18, and that's the reason they're in the playoffs. If they beat them, 49ers would be home right now. They'd be home. Now, the Rams are 6-2 against the spread past eight games. San Francisco's 9-2 against the spread past 11 games, including four straight. And San Francisco 4-1 against the spread in playoff games under Kyle Shanahan. As for Gorgeous Jimmy, no TDs in the playoffs, in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. And in his five playoff games, two TDs and five interceptions. And again, Don, that's kind of a wonky stat, right? Because in the previous playoff appearance, he took them to the Super Bowl. So they've proven they don't need the quarterback to be great to win.
Right. But the question now becomes, will they eventually need the quarterback like they did in the second half of that Super Bowl? Because as bad as Green Bay was and the hex that Rodgers has in the postseason, especially at home, that still came down to that block punt. You know, it came down to special teams. Everything else is going to have to really be accelerated to be able to compensate for what they don't get from their quarterback. Now, is he capable of going out there and having a great game and throwing a couple of touchdown passes? Well, then if that happens, then they've got an excellent chance to win the game outright. But based on the stats you're giving, Michael, and what they've done to get here, think of what they've had to do to get here. Getting the breaks late in the game in the Dallas game, that game could have been lost. They could have blown that because, what, Garoppolo's mistake opened the door for the Cowboys to almost kick the door down. Green Bay, the block punt changed everything in that game. You know, are they going to continue to get that kind of play from defense and special teams to compensate for a lack of effectiveness from their quarterback? It's a great team, and it's an exceptionally well-coached team, but at some point, your quarterback's got to make a play. Is he going to be able to do it in this game and beyond?
Well, they can put pressure on him, and Von Miller has been an X factor for them. You know, they pretty much mortgaged their future to win this year, to get Odell Beckham, to get Von Miller, to get Stafford, and Von Miller has had at least one sack in six straight games, so he's going to be a factor in this. He is going to be a factor, though. He'll be all over Jimmy G. I think this could be a fun game as well, so this is the night game. That'll be on Fox on Sunday, and that's pretty much setting the platter for you. Bengals, Chiefs 7-point favorite. 49ers, Rams 3.5-point favorite. 1-800-919-3776, 1-800-919-3776. Give us a call right now. Now, locally, the Giants interviewed Leslie Frazier today, so that's it. They will have no more interviews, so they could, theoretically, name somebody today. But the word seems to be that they will name the next coach over the weekend. Could be tomorrow, could be Sunday. I don't know if the NFL would be too keen on them doing it Sunday against the conference championships. And the Giants also find out that Brian Daboll, or as Peter calls him, Daboll,
not Nightball,
has been set up for a second interview with the Dolphins over the weekend. But the Giants, if they name him the coach, he won't go for that second interview. So there you go. I don't think Frazier is an option here. Dan Quinn took himself out of the running, so I think it becomes the Brian show. It's going to be Daboll against Flores. Who's going to get it? Do you want Flores, who has experience as a head coach? Do you want Daboll, who's coming off a scintillating performance by the quarterback that he guides against the Kansas City Chiefs? So. And also, Joe Shane is probably and likely closer with Dable because they work together in Buffalo. Does he really know Flores that well? Supposedly they had a very good interview, a good meeting, but we'll see. We'll see who he chooses. I have the feeling, Don and Peter, I think ownership is leaning toward Flores. We'll see how much Shane has sway here.
I'm just upset that you're pronouncing Shane's name wrong. I don't think you're doing
what
the
is
proper...
it? I'm sorry.
Anthony, you have the
Joe Skihoang.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to really work at it, but you got to do the guy justice.
Well, this guy's going to be the GM for a while. I don't know if I can I can handle that.
Well, it's your responsibility as a journalist, Michael.
One of the things that I took from that press conference, too, Michael, I'm not sure if we got a chance to touch on it the other day, on Wednesday. The Giants are going to be very much involved. This guy is not going to have full autonomy. Even sports autonomy, where the owner has to sign off. I still think the Maras, Chris and John, are going to be heavily involved in the decision-making process, not just with the coach, but just getting involved in who the assistants are going to be. And I think they're going to be. It's going to be a decision by committee. I don't think this guy's going to walk in here and just have carte blanche. I did not get that sense from the press conference. Did you?
The only thing that caught my eye, I don't think I fall on your side as heavy as you do. The only thing that caught my eye was when Mara said, we are not going after Deshaun Watson for a number of reasons. Well, that's not really for the owner to say. I mean, you just hired a GM, and if the GM, if that's his vision to bring in Deshaun Watson, then that's his vision. But it was the owner who said, we're not doing it. So that's the only thing that I gave me pause. But I believe that the guy's going to have a lot of autonomy. I really do.
What about, I'm not saying it's going to be like what you had with the Jets, where like it's like that tier of where you're kind of hopping over people to talk to other people. I think there's going to be a proper chain of command here. And, of course, there is no situation in anywhere in sports where you can go over the owner's head, right? The owner is going to have to sign off on anything. But I do think the fantasy for Giant fans was going to be that Mara was going to step back and let his new general manager be the football guy. I don't get that sense. I still think John and Chris are going to be heavily involved, which could be a good thing for Flores. Flores has not been great with hiring his assistants. He's had some failures there. So if Shane and Mara's are kind of involved in helping him pick who his D coordinator is going to be, offensive coordinator, that might be maybe lean more towards Flores because of the experience. And the other knock on Flores is his relationship with his players. Well, who is more popular with the Giants than Joe Judge among his players? Did that help them win games? They love the guy.
Well, that's what we heard from the outside. We have no idea.
Well, listen, but we're hearing the relationship with Flores from the outside, too. You're never going to get 53 guys to all love the coach, Michael, especially the way Flores lost the first half of the season. But as long as you don't want to have a Tom Coughlin situation where you get a revolt from some of your leaders, but who exactly are the leaders you have to win over on this team? Or you don't have a Michael Strahan who's going to be upset if the coach tells him to do something and get everybody to go against the coach. I don't think anybody's got that kind of cachet that's currently on the roster.
Tom Pelissero reporting that former NFL quarterback Josh McCown in Houston today for a second interview with the Texans about their head coaching job.
What?
And McCown has told the team he's all in. So he is the first known finalist.
For the Texans job?
Yeah.
So just lest anyone think that when they were looking for a new quarterback and we speculated that maybe they wanted Brian Flores, so it wasn't just an example necessarily exactly of a black coach being immediately ousted. Just to be clear, the lead guy is Josh McCown.
Right. Now, Don is at the Garden where he's going to call play-by-play for the Rangers tonight. Minnesota against the Rangers. It's also Henrik Lundqvist night. And let's get this straight out. We know how New York goes. Tell them to stop. There's a top-rated radio show being done there. They don't need to practice the entire ceremony. Swing it around, Don. Go tell somebody.
I'm sure, Peter, the Yankees, when they do this, they practice it the same way.
I got to tell you, buddy,
doesn't do it differently.
I have done, 18 old-timers. They never practiced on the field. Never. They gave us a script before we went down there. Never practiced.
But come on. During Yankee games, there's plenty of music being played before a game.
No, the only music that they play is they practice the national anthem.
I feel like we hear more than that.
No, yes. Well, you hear music because they play music during BP. There's nobody in the garden right now.
Well, they've got to rehearse this. It was actually pretty interesting because they're going through the rehearsal for the ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But obviously the dignitaries and Hank himself are not going to be involved in the rehearsal. So you have, like, you know, a woman in her 20s that has, like, a piece of paper that says Henrik Lundqvist, and then it goes through the motions for Hank. So it's kind of interesting. And when Sam, who's there doing it and rehearsing it himself, is introducing Hank, and it's this woman that comes up to the podium. It's very funny.
That's
They're
not
practicing
really Sam.
All their sound effects. It's a joke.
That's not Sam. That's
sure they did it at Yankee Stadium when the Yankees were home too.
They did not. They didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Enough. Sam, by the way, Sam has a body double. That's not
is
Sam.
Is that true?
Sam doesn't do rehearsal. No.
That kind of makes sense to me. Sam's This is not his first rodeo.
No.
Who's Sam Rosen?
Yeah, Sam Rosen.
Sam Rosen has a body double.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. He does not do rehearsals.
What a distinction that is when you meet someone at a party. And I'm sorry, sir. What do you do for a living? You know Sam Rosen? Body double.
Yep. He does all of Sam's stunts, too. Yep.
Have you ever seen the wacky one? Like when Sam has to do crazy things, like call a really rough late season, you know, Washington-Philadelphia football game? I've seen him do some amazing stunts before.
Right. This guy's name is Bam. Bam Rosen.
Bam? Right.
Yep.
He's like, and is that like his gimmick?
Bam part? Yeah, it's like Bam Margera or whatever his name was.
Bam Margera or Emeril Lagasse.
The great, great Bill Hung.
No, his name is Ram Sozen.
Oh.
Ram Sozen. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Give us a call. 1-800-919-3776. We're willing to talk about anything. Obviously, the big source of discussion today will be the conference championships. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
People get very nervous, you know? People are nervous. We're a nervous species. So I went to the supermarket today, not to load up on toilet paper because there's a storm coming. Don, lines like down the aisles.
Always.
It was like, oh, by the way, you better get some food because it's Armageddon. Put it in the underground bunker. I mean, it's going to snow.
I know. By the next day, you'll get out.
And I have no doubt that tomorrow is going to be very, very dicey. All right? But it sounds like it's going to end sometime in the afternoon. And I promise you, by the time you wake up on Sunday, you're going to be able to get out of your house and you're going to be able to do stuff. Like, I understand there was a time and there's maybe areas in the country where you might be stuck in your house for 4 days and then you're going to need the milk and the bread and all that. But does anybody really think it's going to be so bad that you're literally not going to be able to get out of your house on Sunday?
Also, I've always wondered why, like, the 1,000-roll pack of toilet paper. Do you expect to go to the bathroom a lot while there's snow on the ground?
No, no dump today.
Very quick by Anthony. Very nice.
People are crazy about this stuff, though.
But you know what? I blame the local stations. They get you nervous, and they especially get older people nervous.
Well, but how often does the storm, particularly a snowstorm, lead to a situation where you cannot leave your house for days to eat?
Right, right.
I mean, not in this area, at least. I mean,
I understand if it's a hurricane.
There have been situations in some, like, Arctic areas. I remember, like, there was, like, a storm in Montreal, like, 10 years ago where, like, houses were frozen over. The police had to come and, like, chisel people out of their homes. I don't think we're expecting something like that. It's going to be a lot of snow, and it's going to be a tough day tomorrow. But they've been on top of it. When we get hit is what happened a couple of years ago when it was unexpected. And
right.
We weren't prepared for it. But when you're prepared for it and they're going to be plowing the roads, and like I said, Saturday, there's not a lot of traffic anyway. It's supposed to be over sometime in the afternoon. They'll be working on the roads all the rest of the day Saturday, and I think you'll be able to get to the supermarket on Sunday.
Remember the friends of mine that I grew up with that you thought were sketchy?
Yes.
They used to chisel people out of their homes, too.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Chisel them out of their money.
When they were done, the people had no homes. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Robbie in Connecticut. Robbie, why don't you start this baby off?
Let's do it.
Michael, John, Peter, how are you guys doing?
All great. How about you?
Great. And, Peter, I know Michael and Don don't really care, but the Royal Rumble, I'm very excited for this Saturday.
I am very excited as well. Most excited I've been for Rumble in a while. Very wide open, and the title matches are so exciting also. It's a great card.
I agree, but I wanted to talk about the Niners and the Rams game. I don't know if you guys saw, but earlier on Monday, Debo Samuel posted a tweet that it's been rough for 49er fans to get tickets in L.A., mainly because I think what's going to happen is 49ers Nation is going to take over the stadium. And let's be honest, home field advantage plays big, obviously, in every sport. And if that's the case, and you can hear that 49ers Nation loud with Stafford's inexperience, although he's 2-0, I think the Niners are going to pull this one off.
Well, I mean, if you look at Vivid Seats, right, uses an algorithm called Fan Forecast, and it projects crowds for big events and how they, you know, will lean. And that model projected it was 65-35 in favor of the 49ers in terms of the crowd percentage.
Yeah. Holy crap.
They had a 60-40 projection.
Left, the
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Dude, go ahead.
No, you go.
Of the four teams left, they're by far the most popular.
Well, also, and this is the NFL's fault. You put the Rams there. The Rams hadn't been there in 20 years. You lost an entire generation of people. People are not Rams fans.
No.
People in L.A. became fans of other teams. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's easy. In Week 18, it was 60-40 in favor of the 49ers. The Rams really don't have a home field advantage. They don't. They have probably the best stadium in the world, other than maybe Jerry World. And they don't have a real true fan base because they left the city for 20 years.
Yeah. What I'm going to ask around this weekend in St. Louis. I wonder if there's any significant percentage that still roots for them.
I can't imagine.
What do you think they kept? You think they kept 20%?
Well, I remember. I mean, I don't remember. I've read about it. When the Dodgers left Brooklyn, until the Mets became the Mets in 1962, they waited. They wanted to know what happened with the Dodgers. They rooted for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But so I wonder if people hang on to it or if they're just so angry about it that they completely threw it away. I think they threw it away.
I think they threw it away. Because remember when the Dodgers left, Michael, what were you going to do? You weren't going to become a Yankee fan. You know, but now with the NFL especially, this day and age, you could very easily root for a team outside your area. That team left. They left under seedy circumstances. They had won a championship, into a couple of Super Bowls. They really felt like they got robbed for a second time in St. Louis because, remember, they lost the Cardinals.
Yep.
I can't imagine somebody being a Ram fan and sticking with the team after they left, the way they left.
Well, even if they did, they're not traveling to L.A. to see the game on Sunday.
No, but L.A.'s a cool place to go, and San Francisco's not that far away. I mean, it's a bit of a haul, but at least it's in the same state. They've got fans all over the country, the 49ers, because of how good they've been, you know, in the 30 years going back to Montana and Young and Rice. And like you said, I mean, how many people are diehard Ram fans? You know, they lost a team, and I don't think they really cared when they lost them, and I didn't think they cared when they came back.
No.
I thought it was ridiculous they got two teams.
And we kept hearing, well, you know, the NFL needs a team in that major market. Why? They're still fans of football.
Here's what I think is I think there was the embarrassment of being as big as football and not being in the number two market in the country. And I think this was their way of getting a football stadium in L.A. so they can have a Super Bowl every 5-6 years. And they needed a team to do that. And what ended up happening was the situation with San Diego got so bad, they figured, all right, let's put the Chargers there too. I don't think there was an aching need by the community there to get a football team back. But they probably were embarrassed and they wanted a new stadium. And now they got it. Now they've got their Super Bowl. And that's where the NFL Network is based out of. And I think that really was what really forwarded getting a team there.
I wonder how many Charger fans from San Diego would go to those games. I mean, it's not that long of a haul, about an hour, I think, hour drive. But, you know, they also felt that they were, you know, just left for dead. They didn't, you know, they didn't care about leaving San Diego.
They felt jobbed, too.
Well, but since it's so close, I would say the Chargers probably have more of a fan base than the Rams. At least the Chargers are in California.
It's also so wild that the Rams will have their home championship game, and then 2 weeks later, if they win, play the Super Bowl in the same place.
Right.
And
remember, it had never been done. It would be 2 years in a row now.
Yeah, right.
Buccaneers in Tampa Bay last year.
And the Rams closest. But the Bucs, did the Bucs play the did they have home field throughout last year?
No. No, but so they had the Super Bowl at home.
Right, so they didn't play the conference championship at home. But that's where the Rams in theory would get an advantage in a Super Bowl game. It's certainly not the crowd, A, because we know they don't have a big crowd in LA, and B, because regardless of where the Super Bowl is, the crowd is always 70% corporate hacks who don't even care about the outcome of the game. The advantage the Rams would have, though, if they win, is just getting to be in their own stadium. That is an advantage.
In their own bed.
Right.
The Bucs only played in their own stadium in the Super Bowl. They were on the road the whole playoffs. They were in Washington, New Orleans, and
Green Bay.
Championship game in their run too. They were in Green Bay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that full capacity was allowed in the Super Bowl last year.
No,
it was only partial, right?
It was not full.
1-800-919-3776. More of your phone calls. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The picks are turned in, right?
Yep.
Is it over for me or not?
We'll find out at 5:45.
Right, so we can talk about it for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, but Andrew could tell us.
We don't have to know our picks, but he could say.
Well, hey there.
But that takes the drama away.
It would ruin everything.
With you?
There's not one soul on God's green earth that is tuned in right now. And if we revealed this information, there's not one person who would turn off the show. A, because I want to survive and have a chance. And B, because I've just been so bad at picking games that just coming up with my picks has been such a labor
You should have done the George Costanza thing. Just do the opposite of what you think.
The Michael K. Show.
Swing it around, Don.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we answer questions here. In 1962... the Steelers petitioned the American Iron and Steel Institute to use their logo. Three diamonds in the logo represent the three materials used to make steel: yellow for coal, red for iron, blue for steel scrap. All right, so in 62, they came up with that logo, and Dan Rooney asked the Steelers equipment manager to put the logo on the helmet. He did not specify if he wanted it on both sides or just the right side. So the guy put it on the right side. The equipment manager, Jack Hart, put it on the right side. And in 1962, with that new logo, the Steelers finished the season 9-5, the best record in franchise history, and they decided to keep it that way permanently.
Okay.
They used to have numbers in the 50s on both sides of the helmet. But that was it.
Hey, Don,
try back in the day.
Hey, Don, we do you a favor?
Yes, dear.
Who'd you pick? Tell me. Just go ahead.
Why are you being a jabroni?
Answer it!
Don't tell him, Don, because if it's the same thing, right?
Pick him!
He's going to check out. You know he checks out for the littlest reason.
I think he's already indicated to... bad news for me.
Now, Peter shows your brilliant Kofi, who always helps the show with really timely tweets. He said the Giants did have a logo, and it was a giant player putting his arm back to throw a football superimposed against the skyline of New York City. They had that from 1950 to 55, and then they had in 56 to 60 a giant man holding a football as if he's passing it coming out of Yankee Stadium.
But that was like on letterhead. I mean,
it wasn't on the helmet. Right.
It wasn't on a helmet. It wasn't something that they used on the field. But they still have something similar, I think, with MetLife Stadium with that same logo that's like on letterhead and by the website and all that. But I'm just – because I think the Browns back in the day had an elf.
Why?
What?
Really? Like their mascot is on their letterhead. Because, again, they didn't try. It was just sports. It was – if you got a job in sports, like your father wasn't proud of you, he disowned you. He wanted you to be a steel worker. He wanted you to be a captain of industry. When you told him you were a general manager of a football team back in the 20s, they disowned you.
It was like taking drugs.
It was like if you were living on the street.
I was rewatching an old documentary on the WWE Network about the history of the World Heavyweight Championship, like going all the way back to the origins of. of wrestling, like to Europe with George Hackenschmidt and around the turn of the century. And they talk about in how popular wrestling and boxing was in the early 1900s when the other sports were a rumor. You know, football games were getting 300 people. Baseball was starting to get popular when Ty Cobb starts to get big. But like it's hard for us to think of a time when baseball was still years and years from Babe Ruth being on the scene. And it is wild, Don, to think about a time when sports in this country, if you weren't a boxer, you know, being an athlete didn't mean that much.
Well, the way that the McGuire and Sosa saved baseball after the steroid scandal, Ruth saved baseball after the Black Sox scandal.
Yeah. Well, how much had it built up by the time the Black Sox scandal happened? How big had baseball gotten?
I mean, they used to get big crowds, but the worst thing that could happen to the sport is take away the thought that the results are legitimate. So once the Black Sox scandal happened, they needed something drastic, and Babe Ruth came with the home run. I mean, he hit more home runs than teams did. World's most famous arena. Yeah.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden.
And tonight, Henrik Lundqvist is going to have his number 30 brought to the pinwheel roof. And he was at the Garden, had a little press conference today, and he reflected on his career.
You know, when I came here, I didn't know what to expect. I just wanted to play hockey. I just wanted to live my dream. And thinking back now, I don't know how many times I had to pinch myself. And it's like, I'm really living my dream here. To come to a place where people care so much, where they treat you so well, to play in Madison Square Garden, to live in New York City. I mean, the list is so long. Why my journey here has been so special to me and my family. It's been absolutely amazing. And I'm so happy that I got to experience everything, all the friendships and, moments in this building.
Now, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Henrik and his wife and their two daughters came into the Garden today, and there was a picture taken of them. Peter, I hope that you could find it on Twitter.
I will.
It really is, Don. It's the perfect family. I mean, if you drew up a family in central casting, that would be this family. That special.
He's a good-looking man. You would figure he'd have a good-looking family.
He is a handsome man.
I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of emotion tonight because he was just so beloved. But it's also going to be emotional, Michael, because this is going to be the first major ceremony in this building without Rod. And Rod Gilbert would be the main attraction here other than Hank. You know, he would probably speak. He would definitely be there on the ice. He'd be telling stories. We probably would have him on as a guest. Because he was the first number ever retired, he was kind of the ambassador to the former players, and this would be a night for Rod to shine. And it's going to be very, very eerie and very, very sad that he's not here, at least physically. He'll be here in spirit for sure, but it'll just be odd not to have Rod Gilbert in this building tonight.
Now, Glenn Sather, the longtime president of the Rangers, now essentially a president emeritus, he spoke about Lundqvist today.
Well, I saw Henrik play in Gothenburg in 2004, I think it was, and he won the game. I was there with an agent by the name of Paul Theofanis, and I said, this is the next one. And I'd only seen him one game. And there was something about him, the way he electrified the crowd, the way he was poised, the way he conducted himself. I met him after, and we were going to have a drink in the bar, and there was a lineup. And I figured, well, I'm with Henry Lundqvist, so I have no problem getting in here. Well, he didn't tell the people who he was. He just stood in line with Theofanis and I. We were outside for about 20 minutes. Finally, we got in, had a beer, and went home. But it sort of tells you how humble he is and what kind of a person he is. And Larry, you may have watched 900 and some games of Hank's, but I think I watched every game of Hank's. Road, away, exhibition, training camp, practices. And there aren't many people that I can say, and I've been around hockey over a lot of great, great hockey players, and I can't say that I've seen anybody that worked harder, cared more, took care of his teammates, not only told them to get going when they had to get going, and encouraged them when the encouragement was there. And he's the epitome of a New York Ranger as far as I'm concerned. And I used to say, if you look well, you'll play well. Well, there you go. Sort of explains everything. But this franchise has been very fortunate to have a player like Henrik here for all these years, and he's going to be around for a lot longer.
And, you know, I was kind of set back last year when I heard he was having some health problems, and I called him, and not a problem. I'm going to take care of it, and he's taking care of it. So thank you for taking good care of him. And I know he had a lot to do with it.
You know, I think Mike Vaccaro in the Post that had a column that Lundqvist might be the greatest player in New York history that didn't win a championship. I mean, the only one that I could think of that...
Ewing
and Mattingly. And is that's the debate. Is Lundqvist better than Ewing? I don't know.
That's
John,
the
you know
Trinity.
Hockey better than me, but you believe he's better than Ewing?
Well, you know, they're both going to be in the Hall of... You know, one is in the Hall of Fame, and one is about to be when this 3 years lapses and he's able to get into the Hall of Fame. It's so interesting. If there was a... You know, a top 50 hockey players of all time, would Hank be on there the way Patrick Ewing was?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I would probably give the nod to Ewing over Hank, because when you think of this era of goaltender, when you think of Brodeur and you think of Patrick Waugh, and, you know, right now with Marc-Andre Fleury is doing. I mean, he's in there. You know, he's in their stratosphere for sure, but it's obviously debatable. He's the greatest goaltender the Rangers have ever had, but if you go to this era, it could be debatable. It's tough. It's tough. I mean, Hank got to spend his entire career here, where Ewing had to go to Seattle and Washington to finish out his career, but it just was because of the heart condition that Hank isn't right now a Washington Capital, and maybe winning a cup with the Washington Capitals. I mean, that's how good he still was before he had his ailment, but I guess it's in the eye of the beholder, but I'd probably give the nod to Patrick.
You agree, Peter?
Goaltender's such a tough position to compare. Like, it's hard to compare hockey and basketball, but Don, it's even harder to go goaltender and basketball player, because it's in some ways, being the goalie to me is like being the pitcher every night. You know, you're so the backbone of a team. But I think Don's point of where Henrik stands amongst his contemporaries is probably slightly lower than where Patrick is amongst his. I mean, in Patrick's position and class, like that, a period of time, Olajuwon's the only one ahead of him, right?
Yeah. And it's hard.
What do you mean by that, Olajuwon's the only one ahead of him?
When you think of a center from the 80s into the 90s, you'd put Olajuwon a little bit ahead
because
of Patrick, right?
Because he has a title, yep.
And even play, like they're very close.
David Robinson, I don't know if he's ahead of Patrick.
See, David Robinson comes to the league 4 years later. He's right there. I think he's a little behind Patrick. What made Patrick so interesting to me was that he gave you both sides of the ball and played big, but as his career went on, he developed that like beautiful 16, 17 foot jumper. Like he had a really interesting career. He sort of developed his game as he aged. They're close. I think Don's right. I think Patrick probably gets a slight edge. But that's the holy trinity of players who never won a title in this town: Mattingly, Ewing, and now Hank.
Now, I will say this, though. And
David Wright, too.
Vance would argue, and we'll have a list coming up. Let's not give too much away.
Ooh.
A little bit later on.
What?
But I think Ranger fans loved Hank more than Knicks fans loved Patrick. I don't remember. There were times where he was booed after a bad performance or whatever, but even though he never won a cup, I don't think the fans ever blamed him. I don't think any time their fans like, we got to get rid of this guy. He's not going to be able to lead us to the promised land. I really felt that he was beloved universally pretty much his whole time here. I don't know if you could say that about Patrick.
But Knicks
fans,
loved
him, but it was always a kind of a love-hate at times where they kind of blamed him for, you know, with the guarantee and then not coming through. And maybe history looks at it differently now, because I think, you know, Patrick is beloved by Knicks fans, certainly, and the franchise hasn't done anything since he left. But, right, Michael, you were around that team. There were times fans got on him and maybe blamed him when the team didn't succeed.
I mean, there was a lot expected of him as the number one pick coming out of college. And if anything, I would advise people to take a closer look. He became a better player than we even thought he was going to be coming out of Georgetown. Coming out of Georgetown, he was a defensive player. Nobody knew he had offensive moves, a sweet jumper. He became a better offensive player than anyone ever thought he was going to be. But, yeah, he got booed a lot. And I think part of that is the guarantees became comical. Then he missed a finger roll against the Pacers in a year that they could have won the championship. That hurt. He wasn't available for the 1999 finals because of the Achilles injury. So Yeah, he certainly had his trials and tribulation, and then he demanded to be traded. Now, Henrik didn't demand to be traded, and you know the Rangers wanted to move on. But right. Patrick demanded to be traded, and if you look at that and you watch the Nick downfall, when he demanded to be traded, rather than the Knicks saying, no, you're going to play the last year of your contract and you can go where you want, they traded him, took on all those big salaries with Glenn Rice, and that just set them back. And we're still at that point now, two decades later. So he didn't help them at all by demanding to be traded.
No,
and then in the end, he kind of banged around.
And also, let's not forget, Michael, in the Blood in the Garden, which I'm reading, and you finished, you know, there's the part that reminded you that, you know, early in the 90s, you know, he was seeking that if he wasn't one of the top four highest paid players mm-hmm. in the NBA, he could be a free agent. And his agent was working on what like actually getting more money for John Stockton so they could knock Patrick out of the top four so he could become a free agent. He was trying to get out before Riley. Riley had to beg him to stay. Dave Checketts had to beg Ewing to stay because Riley wasn't sure he wanted to come here because Patrick had one foot out the door at the time. So there was multiple times where Patrick was looking for an exit.
All right, let's talk. Let's take a look right now at Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So we're talking about the Rangers, Minnesota, against the Rangers tonight at 8 p.m. It's on the NHL Network. It's on the MSG Network. If you're in your car and you're not in front of a TV, there is nobody in this city that you would want to have at the mic and take you through the ceremony than Don LaGreca. So he will be doing that. He'll start that coverage off at 6:30, and then he's going to have the play-by-play as well. So Don's going to have a big, busy night. Then he has to drive in a massive snowstorm all the way back to the the estate in Jersey.
As I pass hotels that I could stay at and just try to be defiant and make it home.
Right, because you're that guy. You're that guy.
Because I am certainly that guy. And the Rangers want, and it's probably a friendly reminder, too, don't be confused by the start time. Ceremony starts at 6:30, not around 6:30, 6:30. So if you got tickets to this game, be in your seat at 6:30 because you don't want to miss anything.
And then the Knicks are in Milwaukee, and Peter mentioned this yesterday. I don't know why they're playing at 10 p.m., but that's when they're playing.
That's probably the second game of a doubleheader, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing that. That's the second time they've done that this year for a TV doubleheader, taking a Midwest Central Time start and giving it a 10. It's very
strange. On TV.
Well,
that's 9 local time.
Yeah, but I guess that's what happens. Like, do you have enough West Coast? You have enough West Coast teams. Right? Like, Golden State's great. Has Portland fallen off that much they don't want to put them on national television?
You love Portland, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I won't say why. You know, Sacramento stinks. But
that's
you know,
a drop, by the way.
Well, I mean.
It's the capital of California. How dare you?
I know it's the capital. And, you know, I've never been there, but I hear it's
that
lovely.
That wasn't a political, that wasn't like an anti-Gavin Newsom sentiment, was it?
No, this okay. was an anti, you know, nothing since Vlade Divac statement.
You'd have to say, Peter, taking all politics aside.
Sure.
Gavin Newsom is the best-looking governor in the United States of America.
Listen, I don't rank men by looks as much as you do. We all
does.
Know that if Michael was hosting the Henrik event tonight, he would spend the entire time talking about his looks and not even
mention that right?
But Gavin Newsom's a good-looking man, no doubt.
Well, is that so hard to admit? Little jerk. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew. The original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Let's go to Chris in Piscataway. Chris.
Hey, Michael. How you guys doing? I love your show.
Thanks. What's up?
Well, I was calling because you did an interview with Henrik yesterday, and today's his big day. And, you know, he was one of the best goalies of his era. And I just wanted to, you know, comment on you, Michael. I mean, asking him at the end, what's it like to be a twin? Did you ever go on the ice? Did your brother ever switch with you on the ice? I mean, he's a professional goaltender. His brother, I mean, how do you ask that question? That's an awful question to one of the greatest players who ever played the Rangers.
Oh, was it insulting to him? But first of all, when we do interviews like that, no, don't tell me what's an awful question. Get your own show, Chris. You can ask the questions. We like to bring out human interests, the personal side of somebody. We always do that with an interview like that. That wasn't something about a newsworthy event. This was covering Henrik Lundqvist as the person. I thought we'd have some fun with him. I didn't say, did he go out on the ice for him in games? I said during practices or anything like that. Lundqvist seemed like he had a good time with it. How dare you?
Well,
actually critique me? How dare you?
Wow. I just want to say.
Please do. I love it.
I just want to say I believe. What was the caller's name?
Yo-Yo Bumpchuck.
No, Chris, I just want to say, Don, I think Chris made some salient points then. I think
Jabroni totally Pumpleduck.
Totally inappropriate. And when you did it, I actually, this is unusual.
You were startled.
I texted Don and asked for the MSG PR people's names and sent an email apologizing on your behalf. So, Don, don't worry. I apologize to the NHL, to Henrik, and to the league for Michael's unbelievably unprofessional behavior yesterday.
Disconnect the guy!
I don't think the MSG PR people ever got that text because they were telling they were in a room telling Julius Randle, you don't have to talk to the media, don't worry. They never saw it. No, Chris, I'm just kidding. You didn't like the interview. What can I say? How's it going for me? How's it working out?
The Michael K is beyond reproach, and that was reproach. I don't appreciate the reproach.
That was beyond reproach. That wasn't just reproach.
Yeah, that was beyond reproach. And by the way, the gall in this case,
unmitigated.
1,000% unmitigated.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No confusion there.
No, that was unmitigated. Well, how dare he? How dare he critique me when all we do on the show is critique people? I will not be critiqued.
That's right. By the way, though, just to have a little more fun with it,
yeah.
The level of hockey nerd, Don, that guy must have been to be that offended.
I mean, he's the greatest player of all time, and this is what you did? You asked him a fun question? How dare you?
You should have only talked save percentage. What the hell is wrong with you?
Was that Marty McFly or what?
Hey, Mike, how could you ask him that question?
Can you imagine if he reacted that way to Michael? Imagine if Peter had asked the question.
Oh.
I think he'd have Peter killed.
I'll tell you what. My question was the best question of the interview. Stole the whole thing. It was a beauty.
Which question? I seem to have forgotten the best question. What was it?
I said, does he consider himself to be a lifetime Ranger? Does he count the going to Washington or not?
That was a good question.
That was?
I think it was important to know.
I don't know if it was important, but it was very good. Let's not blow it out of proportion.
I think we covered everything that
it
needed to be covered.
It wasn't, Eli, are you elite? That was an important
question. Oh, no, that's a question.
It is the greatest question in the history of this show.
It's true.
Got the best traction. Although this, the Henrik twin question got a lot of traction, Don. Look,
yeah,
it upset Chris. It upset Chris.
Hey, maybe it gave Henrik an idea when Joel's out there giving the speech tonight.
That's right. And also, Henrik had his press conference just now, Don, about an hour ago, half hour ago, and got choked up during the press conference. He's going to bawl like a baby on the ice. Mm.
Well, nobody's going to cry like Messier.
No, well, Messier cries at the opening of a grand union. I mean, that's how – Messier is very emotional.
And let's face it, that joke is so old that people would cry at an opening of a grand union right now because it would be so rare.
They'd cry out of shock. Because, if I wanted to modernize a joke, I'd say Stop and Shop, Acme. Right. What else do we have? ShopRite.
That's right.
Yeah. Don, don't drive all the
Whole
way
home. Foods. Throw Whole, Whole Foods in there.
No, people cry at the prices in Whole Foods. Whole paychecks. 1-800-919-3776. So sorry, Chris, I ruined that interview for you. I really am. I'll do better next time. Next time
He's
we have a legend
looking forward
on.
To it all day, too. You ruined his day and today.
Yeah. I might have ruined his life. I hope I didn't ruin Henrik's
day. Not even watch the ceremony tonight.
I hope Henrik brings up his twin brother and then talks about how they used to joke around and switch practice times.
Yeah, that would be great.
It would be great. He's a great guy. We'll be back with more of this frivolity, and we'll take a deep dive into the conference championship games. Now, guys, I want you to think about this before we go to break.
Sure.
Both this show and DiPietro and Rothenberg lost last week. It's tied. There's only two games. Are we going to let them take the game that they want and leave us with a game that we don't?
Oh, yeah. How do we handle this?
Wait, I guess the only thing we can't do is have the same pick. We could go heads up in the same game, though, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to go opposite of what we feel just to be different. If it ends up being the same, it's the same. And if we end up tied, we're tied. So
No. We can't take the same game. So if they take a game, we have to take the second game we feel strongly about. And they're going first because they won the last week. Mm. Last week, we both lost.
We were going to do my top five at 4:45.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it next since it's kind of what we were just talking about?
Sure. I didn't know that it was exactly what we were just talking about. Let's do that. Don's Daily Don, which is becoming more daily right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie!
All right, so ironically enough, we talked about this on the last segment. Top five greatest New York athletes without a ring. So I kind of gave away my number one and number two, so I can guess we can do the rest. I had Patrick at number one and a close second, Henrik Lundqvist. So we got three, four, and five up for grabs here.
I'll go first.
Yes.
All right. Donnie B-Ball.
Yep, Donnie Baseball I have at number three. Not in the Hall of Fame, but should be. Spent his whole career with the Yankees. And not only not winning a championship, Michael, just not even getting into the playoffs until his last year. Don Mattingly, number three.
But he dominated in that playoff.
He did against Seattle, absolutely. And would have gotten to the playoffs in the 94 if it wasn't for the lockout.
Well, Michael said it earlier, so I think I'll just steal it because it doesn't make sense. David Wright.
Yeah, I have David Wright at four. Again, whole career with the Mets. Pretty much every important offensive number belongs to him. Did get to play in one World Series in 2015, and I thought did a stellar job. I've got David Wright at four.
All right, so you've got Ewing, Lundqvist, Mattingly, and Wright.
Yes.
Now it's going to get tough.
It is.
How about Tiki Barber?
I was going to say that. That was going to be mine, Michael.
Yeah. You know what?
It's a good one. It would probably be the only giant you would even consider
to
have not won a championship, but I do not have him at number five.
Who are you taking out?
How about Mangold?
Nick Mangold, that is an excellent one as well, Peter, but I don't have him in the top five.
Okay. How about, right along those lines, Gio Klecko?
I knew Michael would get it. At number five,
yeah.
Joe Klecko, number retired, went to the Pro Bowl, three different positions on the defensive line, should be in the Hall of Fame, and I've got him at number five. Other ones that were considered, you could say maybe Darrell Revis. Mike Piazza, although you could also consider him a Dodger and what he did after the Mets. I kind of lean towards guys who spent all or most of their career in New York. Rod Gilbert probably belongs there as well.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to get into a fight, but Rod had his number retired in the Hockey Hall of Fame and did not win a championship, did play in a Stanley Cup final in 72. He certainly was considered. Anybody else you think I've missed? Are you happy with this list, guys? Because if so, this might be one of the best lists without you guys killing me.
I think it's an unbelievable list.
Oh, well, thank you.
Curtis Martin could have been in the conversation too, huh?
Yeah, and Curtis Martin only spent 3 years in New England, but he established himself as a star in those 3 years before coming to New York. But I don't think anybody could kill you, Peter, for including him on the list. Played in the championship game in 98 with the Jets.
No, I don't think he's on your list, but I want to mention him because I love him, and I know you do too. Greg Buddle.
Yeah. Greg Buddle is one of the all-time linebackers in the history of the Jets. Doesn't have his number retired. So I probably would go Marty Lyons over Greg.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Greg was a tremendous Jet from 76 to 83.
Beautiful list.
Or 84, actually.
Really good job. Really good job. You know what wasn't a good job yesterday? I don't know if you guys saw this. So the Sixers have a game last night in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
At their home arena.
Sure.
And the great Dr. J is in the house. Julius Erving. So, of course, when one of the greatest players in the history of franchise is there, you put him up on the board. Let the crowd love him, right?
Of course.
So they put him up on the board, and they put his name up, Julius Irving, as if it was an invitation to a bar mitzvah.
Oh, somebody's got to get let go. No?
Somebody has to be immediately relieved of their duties. It's Erving. Andrew, your thoughts?
Totally inexcusable. Don't know how it can happen. His jersey is hanging in the rafters if you need help spelling it. It's right there. It's right there in front of you.
You don't have to look it up. All you have to do is look up.
Yes, exactly.
Is that something that you will give up the fandom of the team? That they're poorly run?
No.
That's not enough to walk away yet.
No, I'm going to stick with them, I think. I'm going to stick with them.
Well, that's an awful thing to get up from under.
Do you remember, Michael, you guys couldn't make it, but when we were presented with the Leon Hess Award from the Marty Lyons Foundation, there, and I still haven't gotten the picture from them yet, was Dr. J, and I got to hang out with him. What a nice guy.
He is a good guy.
Oh, he's awesome, dude.
Not a great guest, though. Not a great guest. We've had him on the show.
No, we had him on, and he's a meander. Can't get that segment back.
Yeah. Never get it back. Chris Hoey.
But that doesn't take away from his greatness or the fact that his name should be spelled correctly.
He could sit here on the show, burp the alphabet, and he's still Dr. J. Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Right. He's got that going for him.
Chris Hoey tweeted out, this is a very good one, Don, that we left out. Pat LaFontaine.
Well, again, Pat LaFontaine, what's great about Pat is he's one of the rare players that played for three different teams in the NHL and never had to get a new driver's license. Because he played with the Islanders, played with the Rangers, and played with the Sabres. So he never had to get a new – but he still played a lot with other teams. With Buffalo, certainly, was a star there. Islanders came up as a star and then played, you know, a little for the Rangers as well. So because it was spread around, I don't know if you can really tag – to me, he'll always be an Islander, but he did some great things with the Sabres too. So, no, it's a good one, but not deserving of the top five.
Peter, see what this guy brings to the party? Driver's license trivia. Who gets that?
Where do you get that? I was thinking about it, too.
Yeah.
I was like, has anyone ever said he's one of the only guys who had the pleasure of getting to keep the same driver's license?
But think about it. You play for three different teams.
Right.
And never had to get a new driver's license.
It really is only a special stat.
Well, has anybody played for the Lakers, Clippers, and Kings?
Has anybody ever played for the Rockets, Spurs, or Mavericks?
Wow.
And just that. Wow. You can only be those. You can't go anywhere else because then you have to get
another never,
one.
Never change your drivers. It's special. It's impo.
Well,
what else?
What is the only benefit, really, to not having to leave the state? What, change your plates?
And what about Bucks, Dolphins, Jaguars?
I thought the driver's license is nice.
Bucks, Dolphins, Jaguars? You ever seen it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's awesome. While we are really making people think today. It's 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza, by the way. Because Andrew will not give up his love of the Sixers despite an egregious mistake. I'm going to make it caller number 8 right now at 888-987-ESPN to win a $20 FanDuel credit. Access for 4 to the FanDuel pregame virtual party hosted by Peter Rosenberg, Chris Carlin, and Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. You can select a box for the big game in our $5,000 box pool. Now, when selecting a box, winners could reveal one of 10 daily double prizes. We've given away 3 or 4 of them, including a Sonos One smart speaker, Apple Watch, and more. Remember to be listening to DPHO and Rothenberg, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Greeny, Barton Hahn, and the Michael K. Show through February 11th for your chance to be a part of Super Box Bonanza, all brought to you by FanDuel 98.7 ESPN. So dial in, and the 8th caller, we will take you when we get back after the break. I think that's only fair. Great list by Don. Great piece of information about driver's license. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I bet Peter's been thinking about it.
Well, when you get a nugget like that, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
See, right there you gave it away.
No.
Up until that last line, I couldn't tell whether you're being sarcastic
now you know.
Right there.
I'm not being, see, you're wrong. I'm not being, I think it was a really fun piece of trivia. Goosebump inducing.
Oh, see, there you go.
No.
You just can't. You can't stop yourself.
No, stop. I'm not. Anyway, we'll work this out in just a moment. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Let's go to Chris in Piscataway.
I was calling because you did an interview with Henrik yesterday, and I just wanted to comment on you, Michael. I mean, asking him at the end, what's it like to be a twin? He's a professional goaltender. His brother, I mean, how do you ask that question? That's an awful question to one of the greatest players who ever played the Rangers.
Oh, was it insulting to him? But first of all, when we do interviews like that.
It's an awful question.
No, don't tell me what's an awful question. Get your own show, Chris. Lundqvist seemed like he had a good time with it. How dare you?
Wow, you know what?
Dare you actually critique me? How dare you?
Wow. The level of hockey nerd, Don, that guy must have.
I mean, he's the greatest player of all time, and this is what you did? You asked him a fun question? How dare you?
You should have only talked save percentage. What the hell is wrong with you?
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, before, the critics. Hear that they might have just tuned in, or they have one of their, Cheeto dust encrusted flunkies listening. I was joking afterward. I said, "Of course you could critique me," but that was just joking at that point. So I don't have that kind of ego. Just saying.
Oh, you made that clear.
Yeah, well, but not to not to people that are looking, hanging there like vultures with like worms hanging out of their gull, and just
holy
looking
crap,
to just swoop down and rip out somebody's neck because there's nothing they like.
Swoop.
Swoop, there it is.
That's
swoop
what
dog.
I was going for. It was swoop there
dog.
It is.
How about Swoop Dog?
Swoop Dog?
Yeah.
Doesn't work. I mean, Swoop There It Is was bad enough.
All right, so 2 games this weekend. Bengals Chiefs first, 49ers Rams. And I believe that in the first game, the Bengals will be affected by the crowd noise at what used to be called Arrowhead. I don't even know what they call it anymore. I think it's an insurance company. But it is so loud there. It has long been established that's the loudest outdoor stadium in North America. So I also think that gives the Chiefs defense a little bit of an advantage because the Chiefs defense can go on first sound because when it's that loud, offenses run on first sound. That's what they do. So they can time the jump. Even Bart Scott was talking about it with on the Barton Hahn show today, which leads into our show. And I think that that's going to be key. Because remember, when the Bengals beat the Chiefs, and that game was important because it cost Chiefs home the bye. It cost them the bye.
Right.
But
so that,
was, that was in Cincinnati.
Correct.
So there's a that's why it's 7. I don't think that people think the Bengals are 7 points worse. I read some. I think I read it in the Post today that the old formula for a home team, you got 3 points. Now it's anywhere from 2 to 2.5. It's not exactly 3. So I guess Vegas is looking at it as the Chiefs are 5 points or 4.5 points better than the Bengals. I think the crowd's going to play a role.
It has to, communication-wise. I mean, you hear stories. I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Jeff Saturday. It was somebody from one of those cult teams that said you could actually get in the face of a teammate and scream, and they couldn't hear it. So a lot of it's going to have to just – you're not going to be able to communicate at the line of scrimmage. And for a second-year quarterback, it's a tough enough game to begin with against a really good team. But that's an element that is going to be very difficult for him to overcome. Plus, you take a look at the game last week against Tennessee. It wasn't like he blew the Titans out. I mean, the Titans, you know, there were turnovers. There were things that allowed him to come over, getting sacked 9 times to still find a way to win that game. You've got to go into this. I mean, am I wrong to think this? That when you take on the Chiefs, you almost feel like you have to score every possession? That every time you punt is if you're putting yourself in a hole?
Especially once they get rolling. I mean, the wild card game against Pittsburgh being the best example, they start out with a lead there, right? The T.J. Watt touchdown, and you blink. You know, they gave you a few opportunities. Kansas City gave you early because they punted. But then once they stopped on, they never punt again. It's over. The momentum's moving. And now all of a sudden there's just too many people you have to worry about on defense to guard anyone.
Now, you know I'm a big Joe Burrow fan, but I think that Tennessee lost that game.
Yeah, I agree.
More than Cincinnati won it. I mean, I thought Burrow was great, but if Tennessee and Tannehill played just decent, they win the game. I mean, it was a close game the way it was. It was a walk-off. Yeah. So I can't really hang on the rim if I'm Cincinnati. They've done what they had to do to get to this point.
Yeah.
But goodness, that was not an impressive performance, letting your quarterback be sacked 9 times. Right.
No, that's not what you want. And also, it came down to the last play against Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, in their own building, there was a chance that the Raiders could have tied that game late. So it's impressive that they're where they're at right now, to be in the championship game, one of the final four. But when you're going up against Kansas City, listen, the Buffalo's defense was spectacular this year. Could get Mahomes off the field. So when you have the ball, you know, again, you can't be like Buffalo the week before against New England, expect to be able to score a touchdown every possession. But there's going to be a feel in Cincinnati, like every time they punt the ball, it's like, oh, no. And then you start falling behind. If you're falling behind by multiple scores, your defense is going to have to make a stop. They're just going to have to.
The big difference with a Cincinnati or a Buffalo as opposed to, say, and I know they're incredibly undermanned, but as opposed to, say, Pittsburgh, is that Cincinnati can get down 14 points and potentially make it up. Like, they can roll, too. That is one advantage they have. You don't necessarily think they're finished the second they get down 10 or 14 points. But, Don, to your point, once you're down that much, if you don't respond, you can blink and it's 28. That's the thing. It can end so quickly.
Yeah, because if Kansas City goes up 2 score, you know, Kansas City's still going to get theirs. They're going to add to that lead. So you're going to have to come up with stops to allow yourself to come back. Do I think they can score points? Yeah, I think they can score points. But maybe I'm biased because of what we saw, the last football game we saw, the back and forth. But it's like, yeah, every time you punch me, I have to punch you. Every possession is going to be so huge, and it's going to be so deflating if it becomes a shootout. This is how I felt about Buffalo. The 4 times Buffalo punted, it felt like such a loss. Like, oh, no, I don't want to punt the ball away. I don't want to give the ball back to Mahomes.
Now, let me give you some numbers that we talked about earlier in the show. Burrow's been sacked 62 times.
You don't know
so
that.
There have been 5 quarterbacks that have made conference championship games that have been sacked 50 or more times. All 5 of them lost. They did not make the Super Bowl, so they lost in the conference final game. And 4 of those quarterbacks did not score an offensive touchdown in that conference championship. Now, the Bengals have covered 6 straight games, 4 straight road games. They're 5-1 against the spread as a road underdog. So they've got those things working for them. KC has covered the last 6 straight.
That's crazy.
6 straight home games, I believe. Yeah, 6 straight home games.
Right.
7-1 against the spread, past 8 games against teams with a winning record. So obviously those are the things to look at right now. I don't think there's going to be a heavily penalized game. The Chiefs, they're the 9th most penalized team in the NFL, but the officiating crew that's on this game, they throw the fewest flags of any of the 17 NFL crews, and the Bengals don't need that help anyway. They're the least penalized team in the entire league. So those are some of the things that we thought were important.
Listen, I'll say this without giving anything away. I'm not saying that I have a lot resting
on Cincinnati keeping this game close. But if you
Pick
were
them.
In a position where you needed Cincinnati to lose by less than seven, I would agree with Don and Michael's assessment that it will be nerve-wracking possession by possession watching the Kansas City Chiefs. That said, I will admit I understand the logic if someone were to have some faith in Joe Burrow keeping this thing close. I'd understand it.
Now, Ed, before we get into the second game, Ed McCormick on Twitter said, why does Rosenberg Radio have two double beds as opposed to one bed? He Great rooming question. With the first guy that will get tossed from the Royal Rumble? Or are he and Natalie in an I Love Lucy situation?
Okay, Natalie's not here. She just got back from Thailand. I didn't care about what bed I got. I asked them for what room would give me the best best signal for doing the show.
Oh, that's all you care about.
That's all. All I care about is being a professional and giving you guys the best product possible. I will tell you one thing. The arch is right outside my window. I've never seen something less impressive. It's a dump.
But you can go in the arch.
I'm good.
Why don't you go take a trip in the arch?
I took a walk around St. Louis because I had an afternoon off. And Peter's right. It's nice. But I was expecting so much more.
Boy, I'll tell you, O'Neill's going to call you in a second.
It's...
Paul?
I've heard good things. I've heard really good things about St. Louis and restaurants and culture and things of that nature. But downtown, my first impression of downtown is pretty rough. And everyone's telling me, be careful downtown. Don't just go walking around at night. Go out to eat somewhere else. I have all these recommendations to get out of downtown.
Last time I was in St. Louis, Cincinnati I was. I don't know. Yeah, why did I say Paul O'Neill was St. Louis? I'm losing my mind, Don.
Oh, my. I was like,
You should have jumped me. And I said
O'Neill? I said Paul?
I thought you were talking about another O'Neill. Talking about.
Oh, you're talking about Tip O'Neill? I don't know where you were going with.
Maybe you meant Ozzie Smith. Did you mean Ozzie Smith?
No, I don't know what I meant. I'm embarrassed, and I should.
Did you mean Lou Brock?
Leave the show for the rest of the show, but I got to make a pick, so I'm not going to do that. But oh goodness, I'm embarrassed.
Did you mean Mike Brouncher?
No, when I see Paul O'Neill, I don't think about the melted candle, Mike Brouncher. Okay.
I think Bernie Federko is very upset with you right now.
That's
keeping
awful.
Hockey for me. Why is it awful?
No, it's awful what I said. Oh, not Bernie Federko. I'm a big fan of Federko.
But you didn't hear me say I like Paul? Because all I know is about Cincinnati, and now he lives in Columbus, right? Because you always say that he's going to pick me up at the airport. Peter, not once has he.
No, sad.
Been to Columbus like 10 times, always waiting. Paul O'Neill's not sitting there with a LaGreca sign getting me back to the hotel.
Paul O'Neill's not walking through that door.
I'm embarrassed. No. I don't know if I could go on, but we will. 49ers at the Rams. It's at SoFi Stadium. Rams 3.5-point favorites. It's not a home field advantage, as we mentioned before. Ticket brokers are saying that they're expecting it to be 65-35 in favor of the 49ers. Now, I was listening to Bart Scott today, and he said the Rams could use that to their advantage as like, well, okay, you can come all the way from San Francisco and wear your nice little red jerseys. We're going to shut you up.
Right.
So that's what they have to use it that way, Don.
That's such a good point. That is such a good point by Chris, because I always would hear that.
It wasn't Chris. It was Bart Scott.
I'm sorry, Bart Scott. Hey, look, I got my.
Why don't
we
just both leave?
Well, wait a minute. I confused two football players that are on our station. So it's not, you know, you confused two cities that aren't really, really remotely close to
each other.
Well, close to Jace, I guess. They've never been confused for one another. But anyway, because I remember with the Devils when they were really good and they play the Rangers and all the Ranger fans would get in there, it would just irk the players. It would just, and they would want to stick it to all those fans who came into their building. So I do think that, there's an edge as far as not having that the crowd noise, and it would be kind of embarrassing if Stafford goes to the line of scrimmage, has to call timeout because he can't hear the play in his own building. But the player, it'll just fire them up even more. It'll really, really tick them off. So I really don't think it's going to be any kind of advantage either way.
The first thing that popped in my head when I thought about this game was just worrying about, like, Don, you've seen videos, I'm sure, before of, like, the brutal fights when it comes to these West Coast rivalries. I know the Rams fan base isn't that big yet, so it should be chill. But 49ers fans, considering San Francisco is supposed to be like a place of hippie love, 49ers fans a little rough around the edges.
well, you know, I see it firsthand with Nancy with being a Giant fan. Dodgers, Giants, baseball.
Oh, it's a nightmare. I mean, people practically die.
Yeah, no, no joke. It was like, what, about 10 years ago, his name escapes me. A guy was jumped and, like, he had brain damage, was beaten so badly. It gets very, very – the East Coast always gets looked upon as that's really where it gets
no,
bad.
No, the West Coast is worse. I think it's crazier for the sports rivalries on the West Coast. And I just – the main thing that sticks out to me in this game is this six straight for San Francisco. At some point, this has to change. And
you know, people say that, Peter, but teams do get beaten three times in 1 year. It happens a lot more than you think.
Yeah,
no,
but
absolutely.
It usually happens when the team that wins three times is so much better than the other. I think when you look on paper, I think the Rams are supposed to be a better team. It's just a coaching matchup. That's what's so weird. I don't even think it's the Niners having the number of the Rams. It's Shanahan.
Shanahan—he's
such a good coach.
Oh, he also knows McVay better than anybody.
Yeah.
They came up together under Shanahan's dad. So the last time they met, that got San Francisco into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. San Francisco came back from 17 points down in Week 18. So here's some numbers: the Rams are 6-2 against the spread past 8 games. San Francisco 9-2 against the spread past 11 games.
Holy crap!
Wow.
In the playoffs under Kyle Shanahan, San Francisco's 4-1 against the spread. Now, for Jimmy G, no TDs in this playoff. 2 TDs and 5 interceptions in 5 playoff games. But think about it, everybody. His other playoff run, he got to the Super Bowl. And in this one, he gets to the NFC Championship game. So it doesn't matter if he doesn't play well. They're not built for him to play well. And there's so much riding on this game. If they go to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, are they keeping him? Or are they going with the young kid? Because if they let him go, they save $23 million in cap space. But if he takes him to the Super Bowl, how could you actually let him go? Trey Lance is waiting. You spent a lot of draft capital to get him, but there's a lot riding on this game. If San Francisco goes to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo, you really letting him go? How many times does that happen, that a quarterback takes a team to the Super Bowl and the next year he's gone?
No, it doesn't. But what if they go to the Super Bowl but the numbers stay the same?
You know, he's completing
50% of it. Yeah, but that's part of the whole thing, Michael, is that they could say, hey, yeah, we won a Super Bowl thanks to our defense, thanks to our special teams, thanks to amazing coaching, but imagine what we could do and how consistent we can be and how sustainable it could be if we had a better quarterback. You know, so I think you got to stick to your guns here. I mean, they are doing a terrific job, but if he is just going to be a passenger, Michael, first of all, it's really hard for me to believe that they're going to go all the way, win this game, and possibly beat the Chiefs or Cincinnati without getting better quarterback play than they've got. So if he goes out there and throws for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards, it becomes very interesting. But if it ends up staying the same, where he's throwing for 150 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but they win the game, you know, 14-13 on a last-second touchdown or a defensive stop or a blocked punt, or a blocked field goal or something, then you could honestly say, listen, we're doing it with mirrors here, but we want to be sustainable, and you can't do it without a quarterback.
Peter, I think you need some affirmation. I'm trying to read the room, and I have a feeling that in the first game you're kind of leaning Cincinnati. So I know a guy that you really respect at ESPN, Ryan Clark. He was on with Bart and Hahn, and he explained how Cincinnati can beat Kansas City.
Joe Burrow has to score a boatload of points. This isn't a game you can go into against the Kansas City Chiefs and expect to win with 24, expect to win with 27. It's going to take 34 plus to win this football game, and you have to be able to protect Joe Burrow to do that.
Make you feel better?
No.
He didn't exactly, cure cancer with that statement.
Yeah, I mean, our season.
I think my mom said it this morning when I called to wish her a happy day. I think threw out there. I think Burrow's going
to score
some points.
Do you call her every day to wish her a happy day?
No. I stumbled there. I do talk to her every day, though, yes. I don't necessarily start my day by calling her. She won't allow it. She calls too quickly. But I do speak to her. Every night, we won't do it tonight because I got a late night tonight, but the whole idea is we FaceTime with Grandma at the end of the day with the kids. And she says in passing, she's like, how's everything going? Everything good? That's great. I think Burrow's going to have to score north of 35 to win this game.
She said that. Interesting.
Yeah. I think Ryan Clark is terrific. But whoever cut that sound wasted their time.
So,
no, because I've had it.
Your mom just said, listen, I'll tell you, Don, first of all, please, please kiss Marco and Jalen. I miss them so much. And also, Joe Burrow cannot get sacked 9 times again if he expects to go to the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, the only thing is she always calls him Burrows. I have to correct it.
Oh, she's a Burrows guy?
She's a Burrows guy, yes.
Wow. Jarve brings up that Joe Girardi was let go after taking the Yankees to the ALCS. His contract was not renewed, let's put it that way. So there are instances of it.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a guy who went to a Super Bowl, and they had the lead at the half, right?
Right.
And they still drafted a quarterback. So I think they are ready to move on, all right? That's just the – and what you do is you hope you win, and then you can get more for him. Maybe you could trade him, right? And now, hey, look up. Who wants my Super Bowl-winning quarterback?
All right, let's take a brief timeout because you know who we have next, right? We have the great Tannenbaum. Oh, Tannenbaum. Maybe he'll make Peter feel better about his picks.
What was Tannenbaum's pick last week again?
Do you remember, Don? I don't.
It was opposite me, I know. So he probably got it right.
No, there was some,
you can't. This has been a tough stretch, Peter. One and eight over the last 9 games.
The only game, the one I got, was the miracle comeback.
Right.
A historic miracle. That was the only thing I got, which is, again, though, why it's so interesting if I stay alive. Because that moment does make you think, what if?
All right, we'll take a brief time out. We'll talk with Tannenbaum on a weekly segment, then we'll make our picks after that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.